So thanks for coming. I guess I'm sure we'll have people fill in. This will be the most popular session you've been to, I'm sure. So I'm Chris Helms. I'm part of what's called our Azure Customer Experience team. Specifically, I'm what's called the Crisis and Escalation Management team. So I just have to make sure, if any of you know me from calls that we've been on, I'd like to know in advance. Anyone? Most popular question today. No, absolutely. We're here to help. So 24/7, we have team here in Redmond. We have a representative in East US. We also have someone in a few folks in Hyderabad, China. So we really do go across the world working to make sure that the platform is supporting your needs. We work with the CSS support teams that are sort of the front line to those escalations, but we're also the conduit to the engineering teams. We're actually within the Azure engineering organization that we work with them to ensure that we have issues resolved quickly. Mitigation as rapidly as possible is always our focus. So, and making sure we communicate with you all. My partner here, Brent Truel, is actually a part of the Azure communications team, and his focus is trying to get the word out to all of our customers all the time, right? As quickly as we can, as accurately as we can, making sure that you're aware of the status of your services. So unfortunately he couldn't be here today, but he's helped me to put this together, so he still gets the credit. All right, so something's missing from this slide. Does everybody know how many different regions there are? 34 different regions, very good. All right, that's your trivia question. All right, so change management in the cloud. The cloud's always changing, right? It's people, customers, that's the nature of the cloud. Customers are spinning up workloads, creating VMs, modifying VMs, deleting VMs, other services, adding network, deleting network, adding workload for traffic that's coming in for special events and other special jobs that they're doing, right? So there's really not a sense of status quo in the cloud. It's constantly changing. It's constantly updating and doing its work. Even service and software, as we roll out new updates, bug fixes, features, various capacity updates, things like that, these things are actually happening almost all the time. There's active jobs that are rolling. And so in change management, there's actions to want to really control and manage that change in very tight windows and try and pick your outage window, your maintenance window, or whatever that you're going to do the work that you need to do. That may work in some smaller environments, but when you're talking about managing this massive cloud, that frankly, different customers, different times of day are important, different days of the week are important, different services are important at different times. There's really no way to coordinate all of that together. So what we have to do as Azure is we have to make it resilient to those changes, resilient to those updates as we're making them, support your updates as you're making them, be able to scale when you need to scale. Oh, sorry, one more thing. So how should you deal with the constant change? One, you have to architect differently than maybe your on-premise systems. Right, the actual high availability features that we have within Azure aren't necessarily the same way that you used to architect your systems and services. Also, just following the best practices that we have available for high availability, for reliability in the cloud. And Egal, who's here, has a talk tomorrow that's called Run Highly Available Solutions on Azure. It actually has some more information about this Cloud Control API feature, which is open in public preview in October, which I think is also going to help to be able to manage and control and observe change in the environment. So you might want to check that out if that's an interesting topic for you. So what do we do to be able to minimize and eliminate issues that are the result of change? Well, we invest. We invest a lot of money. We have invested, this one particular feature here is one that I want to call out that is our Canary environments. And in the last 2 years, we've invested almost $100 million in this canary environment, which essentially is, it's an environment where customer workloads and platform workloads actually go into rotation. They do the work that they're intended to do in a production scenario. And before anything ever makes it to a customer or SLA-driven environment over here, we've run it through this test environment here. And that's, and that canary, it's to make sure that we catch anything that's going to create any sort of an issue, a broad issue across the platform, before it makes it out into where it's actually a customer-impacting issue. Now, but that's not the first place that we catch it, right? We spend a lot of engineering hours. More than 500 engineers within Azure are specifically just working on reliability of the features, reliability of the platform. That's all within this stage right here, where we're rolling through, filing bugs, filing the actual deployment requests, using all the automation to be able to get into the stage environments, starting private previews and having private previews for customers to be able to help us validate what are we doing, what's important. So after we've gotten out of the validation cycle, we consider it production ready. Only at that point will we take that to the canary environment. The canary environment then is obviously sort of our larger validation against customer workloads. And then we hit, once we've passed that canary, and it has to run in that environment for actually a period of time. We call bake time. People have used that, I think, before. But it's a certain amount of time that has to be there, either 24, 48 hours, depending on the service, depending on the feature, to ensure that we don't see anomalies in the actual instrumentation that we get based on those services. Do we see deployments failing? Do we see things taking longer than they should? Do we see them faster than we should? Is it what we expect, right? Then beyond that, this hardware diversity pilot. Around the world, all the different data centers that we have, all the different regions that we have, a mix of hardware through those, standardized hardware, but it's not all the same. Over a 3-year period, we try and cycle hardware in and out. All the work that's gone back in here, that's also got some hardware diversity going on too, and the canary, it's got some hardware testing too. So this isn't the first time we're doing a hardware testing, but we will do additional testing to ensure that we have the additional SKUs, if you will, the different hardware actually factored in at this point. Next, the pilot goes to the first small set of regions and scale units within those regions. Then the early regions. Then the broad rollout. So it's a building release, right? And the other thing that's important is the region pairs, right? We have geo-paired regions. When one region is being updated, we're not updating the other region with the same update so that we don't have a potentially catastrophic issue where someone who has set up their geo-redundancy doesn't have their failover because we're updating both of those regions and both regions get hit. So both that's just there to represent that. All right. So one of our changes that we have made that we've gotten lots of feedback on, we've definitely heard the feedback and we've really innovated quite a bit in the last couple of years to produce a better experience around planned maintenance. And specifically planned maintenance that's going to cause expected impact, where we're applying a new host OS to the actual machines underneath your VMs. We expect that we're going to have reboots. 2015, 2014, we did it twice a year. That caused a lot of stir. So the goal was 2016, 2017 to get to one reboot a year if we need it. And hopefully, one reboot is all we'll need. Now, obviously, if something were to come up that was a critical type of an update, that might supersede that once a year. But the goal is once a year. So additional updates, though, are applied through a memory-preserving maintenance. So there's no reboot needed. Pauses your VM for seconds, starts it back up once the update's been applied. So that makes it much more easy for your servers and your services to be resilient to those without having to reboot, without having to reinitialize, just the pause and start. In addition to that, communications improvements. So we used to send emails 7 days in advance before we would do the maintenance. Now we're sending them 14 days in advance. That's our commitment, is that we're going at least 14 days in advance. Maybe it'll be more at some point. Maybe we'll have different ways of doing it, but we're committing to that 14 days. And it'll go to members of your service admins or co-admins. Now, in addition to that, let's add on the monitoring improvements that we've made. And now we've got the communications element done, so we're going to tell you more about it. The monitoring and improvements have to do with how can you tell that that maintenance is ongoing? How can you tell how far it's gone? How can you tell that your VMs are updated or your VMs aren't updated? Well, you've heard me mention the Cloud Control APIs, Azure Monitor you saw in the keynote if you were here on Monday. Scott talked about that. Resource Health is another blade in the portal that actually tells you a lot about the health of your resources, specifically VMs, websites, SQL right now, more coming on board all the time. And then, of course, service notifications, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So that helps our planned maintenance story a lot. It gives you a lot more information, real time, about what's happening during that maintenance. So tools for discovering and managing change. Obviously, the portal, and more, the portal. The old portal didn't have a lot about service status in it. It didn't tell you a lot about, other than started or failed. That was sort of your binary, you know, or starting, I guess. But the new portal, if you haven't used it, portal.azure.com. I ran into somebody the other day that was still using Manage Azure as their only portal. And there's so many features within portal.azure.com, including resource health and service health, that gives you updates on both whether the platform's healthy, whether your individual resources are healthy, and it also helps to link those and tell you when one is because of the other. Azure Monitor, the aggregation, it's available through the portal, the aggregation of your logs, the telemetry, and alerting as a result of that, right? Those are all things that are, the alerting is actually something in Azure Monitor, something that actually is, we just talked about yesterday. Go down there so you can see it in the portal yourself. Cloud Control APIs, so discover and control your downtime events. Egal will talk about this more tomorrow if you want to see it, but it gives you the ability to be able to actually see more real-time things that are happening within your VMs. Service notifications. So we send, we're introducing a private preview feature for now, but it's the ability to be able to set alerts within the portal and actually have them based on your resource, based on your subscriptions, based on whatever definitions you actually define, send those alerts to SMS, email, potentially using webhooks. And then Azure Service Health Dashboard, which is, of course, our public dashboard that you can see when there's a broader impacting issue, we will post to that dashboard. So let me just make one thing a little bit clearer. Service Health Dashboard will not have every single incident listed on it. You won't see a notification on the Service Health Dashboard for something that impacts a small number of customers or a small number of VMs. You will see that in your portal under Resource Health and Service Health. And we'll also, that's why I've actually put Service Health Dashboard at the bottom and Azure Portal at the top. Service Health Dashboard is not aware of your subscription. Doesn't know anything about who you are. This does. The portal knows who you are. The portal knows your services. It will present you with the notifications that you need. All right, so speaking of service notifications, again, you can see in the portal here, you have your notifications, your alerts, and your notification groups. Notification groups allows you to define those. Who is in a notification group? You could have as many as you need to be able to say, I want these three people to get alerted when this particular resource has an issue. I want these other individuals to be alerted when these resources have an issue. Those are capabilities that you can go in and define. It's all whatever you decide to define within the portal for your services. You know your services best. We're not going to set up an alert every time a VIP isn't available. It might be test. It might be something other than production that you really don't want to get an SMS message in the middle of the night, right? So you can define those, and they work in, as I said, with email, with SMS, and also the third-party integration. So if you use like PagerDuty or another incident management system, something like that, this will allow, you can integrate those signals with either webhooks or even the emails or SMS, however those work for your integration, be able to pipe those alerts directly into those systems. Again, the communication by subscription. So within your subscription, you can configure these alerts. When we notify you, often right now, we notify you based on something in your subscription, maybe having an issue. We know that you use this service in this region, in this in particular impacted place. It might not impact you. What this gives you the ability to say, okay, when we know that it impacts you, when this alert fires, when these queries determine that your services are impacted, now you get an alert for sure. You know that it's impacting you. So Azure Portal, within Azure Portal, again, Service Health, Resource Health, really important. You should get to learn them, get to know what's in there. If your VM restarts, if your web services are not functioning properly, if SQL's having issues of other varieties, other kinds, this is where you're going to find, this Resource Health is where you're going to find things that are specific to your resources. Service Health, again, is if we've posted something on the dashboard or if we have individually posted a message to you because your subscription is impacted, you'll find things in here. The Service Health dashboard has been refreshed. If you haven't been there recently, we have separated out by continent, so it's a little bit easier to kind of look through. Definitely, if you have feedback on that, please provide that feedback. We'd love to get it. And the other thing that actually you should all know is that public RCAs, so if we've had a platform incident that has impacted, we're going to post the actual public RCA in that public portal. So you can, in the dashboard, not in the portal, in the dashboard where you're going to be able to see it and you're going to be able to get to it. You don't need to ask us for it. It'll be there within 3 days and for more severe incidents. 5-6 days for less severe incidents. Anyway, so check there. If you're looking for your actual RCA, check there. We're trying to be transparent. There's nothing that we're doing differently to put this information out there that is withholding any information. It is as we are publishing it to all of our customers, whether you're a premier top of the line customer or whether you're a weekend warrior that has a website, you know, that you want to host. If you're interested in the private preview for the service notifications, you can tweet at Azure Support to get access to those. And what is at Azure Support? So at Azure Support is lit it up about a year ago, and we've begun providing support via Twitter. So if you have an issue, if you have a question, if you're impacted by an issue, or an incident, I should say, if you are in a design phase and you just need advice about something, those are things that you can actually post to at Azure Support Twitter handle, and we have a team of people there that are looking for those questions, looking for those tweets to be able to direct them to the right resource to hopefully be able to help the customer to answer their question. It's free. Throw your questions at it. We want to see how it continues to scale. We're obviously, the cloud is a big entity. There's lots of customers on the cloud, but we've gotten really good feedback from it. We've gotten really good data from it to be able to help and fix bugs, to be able to update forums, to be able to get documentation where it needs to be so our customers are better served. And we do route to engineering when needed. So if we don't have the right documentation, if we don't have the right information that we can help you to make a decision, then we need to get that. We also use it during incidents that I mentioned. So when you have an issue, if you're impacted by an issue, we will follow up on those, and we will DM back and forth with you if we need private information. So we'll use those tweets as a signal of how broadly people are impacted, but we'll also be able to DM you to get more information about specifically how you're impacted. Once we're done, we've mitigated, we'll also be able to validate the recovery with you if you can provide us a tweet to say, hey, I'm better now. Also, we deliver, that's actually how we'll tweet out anybody that we didn't engage during that incident. We'll tweet out to them to say, the public RCA is here. So it'll be a way that you can get the link directly to the public RCA. It's of course available in the SHD and the Service Health Dashboard, but this is another way to get it. Again, you can use that. The engineers there will help you to get your subscriptions all set up for the private preview of Azure service notifications if you're interested. So please consider engaging via the Twitter support handle as well. All right, well, that is all that I specifically had to present for you today. If you guys have any questions, I think I can take a few quick questions. We're a couple minutes over, so people might start jumping in. But anybody have anything that they're dying to know about? Yeah? That is a good question. Actually, we do have an engineer, Raj, is here, and he may be able to answer the scaling to a broader group. Yeah. And SMS is a difficult blast or a difficult broadcast medium. Yeah. It's not as easy as email, right? Yeah, that's actually an interesting question. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. I think we're done. Thanks, everybody, for coming.